Hello, and welcome to Lifetime Uncorked, the podcast where we break down your favorite made-for-TV movies one bottle at a time. Whether you love to hate watch or hate yourself for joining them, pour up a glass of your favorite cocktail and join us. Yeah. I am your host, Patrick Serrano, and my guests today are...
Hi, I'm Drew Current.
I'm Alex Mormon.
Yay!
Alexandria.
Alexandria, thank you, thank you.
Oh. Yes, gotta say the full name.
I appreciate it.
Alexandria.
It's really funny because I had Alex Colyard on, and like I was like talking about Alex like coming on the podcast, and people got excited because they thought I meant you, and then I'm like, no, totally different vibe.
Very different vibe.
Very different.
But great person.
But great person, also a fun guest. But it was so funny because people were like, oh my God, Alex is back. I'm like, not that one, different one.
Just you wait. I'm here, guys. I'm ready.
Here we are. The funny thing about Alex is, before the pandemic really was about, when it was shutting it down, you were supposed to come on the podcast and you texted me and said, hey, I think that it's a bad idea to meet for a podcast recording. And then literally, like, I don't even know, like 30 minutes later, Chicago shut down.
Yeah.
Just shut down completely. Yeah.
I'm not really feeling that great.
Right. So my question to you, Alex, is, are you a psychic? Do you have like a coven of witches where you just like make things happen?
Yes, actually I do. I come from like a very long line of like fortune tellers, and that's like one of the things that I do at like weddings when I don't know people and I'm like the plus one. I read people's palms. So I do come from a long line. So I think I had a feeling, I knew what was gonna happen. I reached out. And, you know, it turned out to be true.
And yeah. Here we are. Still in our houses. Still here.
Still in our houses.
Oh, you know, what the hell. But I'm so happy you're here. So excited. We've been, of course, corresponding over the months. Because, you know, I'm always checking in, like, how are we feeling? What's going on? Like, what are we thinking? And you came up with this awesome idea to talk about representation in Lifetime movies. Which is something that, you know, I try to talk about on the podcast, but when you're sneaking it into an episode and you're like, oh, the representation in here sucked. And everyone's like, oh, well, duh, it's a TV movie. But you were like, hey, how about we talk about like movies with black protagonists in them?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yeah. How about we do that?
Yeah.
How about we do that? And Drew, guess what? There's not that many.
There isn't. There truly is not.
Turns out there just isn't that many.
But, you know, I'm glad we're doing this because, you know, I love being on the show. And I know, like, a year ago, I remember when you were doing the Christmas specials. And I was just like, I would really like to do all the POC movies. There aren't that many. I'm so happy to be here that we're doing this. I think it's timely. I think that it's of the moment. And it's so beautiful to see black and brown people on TV, man. It's nice.
I know. Sure is. I know. It is great. And of course it's like not that different, y'all. It's really not that different. It's still a TV movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what's good about the ones that Alex and I have chosen to cover for this series, so we're going to do a 4-part series over the month of October, and we're just celebrating representation in TV movies,
yes,
mostly of specifically black writers, black actors, black directors,
producers,
because, you know, why not? Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. It's been
Well, you got to. Got to. I will also be thinking that every movie is a horror movie because it's October and that's what I think of all movies.
Yeah, there's a couple horror moments that happen in these movies. So it's there, even though none of them are, you know, specifically about, you know, a man lurking in the shadows ready to murder a woman. All of those come in different shades and different types of things, whether it's them or whether it's, you know, not knowing who you are and trying to figure it out. You know, there's a shadow lurking, you know, in all of these stories. So get ready, Jim.
Okay.
Don't worry. We got a little horror for you.
I'm all about them shadows.
When Jordan Peele makes a Lifetime movie, I'll let you know, Drew.
Yeah.
You'd be all over that one.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Are you guys watching Lovecraft? Right, I just like, I know.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good.
Of course. Yes. Well, everyone should watch it. You should, you should like plug that really quick because I'm sure a lot of my listeners don't know and they would love that show.
Yes.
Lovecraft Country, man. Ooh,
it's so good.
It's Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Like,
and Misha Green, who's like this new person, but this came from her mind and like this story. She's writing it, producing it, directing it as well with, you know, of course, J.J. and Jordan. And like her voice and narrative that she is putting to these stories is something missed. And it's beautiful to watch like horror, but love, a love story, but like racial conflict, but like class distribution, colorism. It touches on everything. So like, please get on the show, everybody.
There you go.
Very good.
There you go. But we're not here to talk about TV shows that we love. We're here to talk about TV movies.
Yes.
So our first TV movie that we're covering for this series is a doozy, okay? You know, it was Lifetime in that weird time where Lifetime was trying to get real serious and go for those Emmys. And I will say, Angela Bassett, the star of the movie, she got nominated for a SAG Award for this. So, there were some awards love. So this is like an actual prestige Lifetime film, as it should be. It's called Betty and Coretta.
Mm-hmm.
So Betty Boop. And no, just kidding. We know. The wives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Yes. So yes. Betty and Coretta Scott King. We know her better than we know Betty, I would say. Do you feel that way, Alex?
I totally. And there's so many things in this movie that I didn't know. And I was just like, I love that I'm also getting like a history lesson. And I'm learning something, which I usually doesn't happen in a Lifetime movie. So
totally.
I really appreciated the like highlighting like this woman's journey and all the great things that she has contributed to society. And what a killer ending, by the way.
Oh my goodness. Yes. There, Drew, like you thought Lifetime like had the drama with the killers and everything. This was truly shocking. And I had to look into the real life story. I'm like, oh wow, this was real.
Yes. So
let me just tell you, it ends with like, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I had an audible like scream at the end of this, where it's just like, no, this can't be happening. So like Lifetime really did it. It did it, you know?
Mm. It did. So the movie stars Angela Bassett, who we mentioned. She plays Coretta Scott King. Mary J. Blige plays Betty Shabazz. Oh. Am I saying that right? Shabazz?
Yep, Shabazz, yep.
And also stars Gloria Rubin, who I just threw in there. She's in like one scene, but you gotta like love some Gloria Rubin up in there. And also narrated, interestingly narrated by Ruby Dee.
Yes.
Are you familiar with Ruby Dee, Drew?
Ruby Dee is truly an American icon. And
she is like Broadway, like original Broadway cast of Raisin in the Sun. Like an activist. And then she has just been in so many TV shows, films. She was in, wasn't she in some like Spike Lee stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah. She's been in like literally.
You'd recognize her.
She's just like a slightly less known Cicely Tyson. Just like
she's one of those in American Gangster.
Yeah, that's given us all the wisdom and hope.
And I'm like, is she playing like a daughter of one of the kids, like recapping? No, she's just like literally narrating from her memories of the civil rights era. Because
with these women,
lived
like
it.
She was there with them.
Crazy. Amazing. So that was a nice detail. I wish it would have been introed a little bit better because it starts with her talking about the two women and like how they were like, you know, very prolific in their time and da da da. But you're like, who's this woman? Is she? You're kind of like, wait, what's going on? A title card would have gone a long way there.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I looked it up and I was like, oh, yes, I know who this is. But I thought she might have been playing a character. It didn't explicitly say, this is Ruby Dee narrating this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I wish it had that too, because I had to look it up.
Right.
This is beautiful Black woman talking stories, you know?
So for a Lifetime movie, you know, we're getting the voiceover narration. We're getting Obama, like, erecting a statue of Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. like, in D.C., mm-hmm. and, like, a tribute to him. Maybe, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a monument. Is it the Black History Museum?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that falls within the Obama, the Obama years. The good old days.
Remember those days
when, like, you didn't wake up in fear every morning of, like, what's gonna happen? You
know? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's every day.
2016 was the worst year of our lives.
what fools we were!
A bunch of idiots.
So we start off. We're in Selma.
Yes.
And we have Coretta Scott King. She's, like, in a fabulous, like, all white outfit.
I made a note of it. Stunning. And the hat. She's got this beautiful, like, faux fur hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that was missing was, like, one of those, like, muff cuffs, you know?
But yes.
Of course, it's the South, so it probably was, like, hot as hell. So she, you know, couldn't have that with her. But it was, I mean, she looks incredible.
Very Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yes, exactly.
That old vibe. And I bet the fur wasn't faux fur. I bet it was real ass fur.
It was real cat.
Back in that time.
Actual cats. Yeah.
I mean, it's the 60s, so.
Peter wasn't around then, I don't think.
No. Martin Luther King is in jail, and she's going to visit Malcolm X to talk to him about his
approach to, like, because, the movement.
Yeah, because his approach is not really going the nonviolence route of Martin mm-hmm. Luther King. He wants to confront the issues. And this is where I'm like, you know, I didn't really learn a lot about Malcolm X in school. I learned about Martin Luther King and nonviolent mm-hmm. protesting. And Malcolm X was kind of like, oh, he was also there, but he didn't do the nonviolence thing. And you're like, wait, why is that what we're teaching in school?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Straight off the bat.
It's like, they have, like, they've always set it up, like, in the history books, they've always set it up as, like, Martin Luther King is Professor X, and he was a Magneto. Like, where you're just like, they both have those kind of, it's like, no, we gotta rise up. Mm-hmm. We gotta actually, like, do something. And so, but that's, like, of course they want to teach us and keep that together. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so, it's hilarious that they just teach it that way.
Yeah, a very limited view of, like, you know, African-American history. Like,
yeah,
it's just a little bit of a whitewash thing. Because I can remember in class, and they would go over the civil rights movement, going over slavery, all that kind of thing, and being, like, the only Black kid in the class. And, like my class would, like, look to me to be like, hey,
oh God, you
know, oh my God,
tell us the history of Black people, and, like, you know, like, give us your account, like, you know what I mean? So there's,
yeah, you're like, I'm also a child learning in school, can you, like, fuck also, off,
can right? you fuck yourself, leave me alone.
Wow. Right. But the movie is actually quick to dispel, like, any type of, like, no, Malcolm X was not a radical like person, right, like, out in the streets doing whatever. I don't even know what the depiction is. He has a family, mm-hmm. he has children, he is trying to speak out for racial injustice,
yes,
just like Dr. King,
mm-hmm.
the exact same. So exactly. There, the two wives are like, you know, Betty is kind of like, this is getting out of hand, like, we're getting death threats all the time, like, I kind of want to just, like, lay low and, like, raise my family. And he's like, I've already started this. Like, they're going to kill me. They want to kill me. And I got to keep speaking.
Yeah, we may not all make it there together, but, like, I got to keep on the path of, you know, freeing my people. And that's really hard, especially if you have family and their lives are being put in danger on a daily basis. Like, he has to park his car blocks away and change cars, and in order to be able to, like, just come home. And, like, the danger is so prevalent, the stakes are so high. Your heart just, like, I couldn't imagine having to go through that stressful situation every single day, you know, to fight for justice.
Right. Well, and the fact that they talked so openly about the repercussions for speaking out, like,
yeah,
everybody knew this was something that you didn't do, and you were putting your life on the line. So to see that conversation and the way Mary J. like acts the scene, she does a really good job at like being like, I'm worried, like I don't want this, but like I understand why it has to happen.
Like she doesn't want him to go away. Like, she's like, your kids need you, but like, you know, he's a part of this movement. It's like hard between a rock and a hard place.
And then the next scene, the very like next scene, the house is getting burned down by clan members. Like
down.
Of course. And you're like, what the hell? Like with the kids inside and everything inside. Like that.
The kid is like, I mean, that's the reason why they all get out. The daughter sees, you know, the cocktail, the, what is it? Molotov
cocktail. Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, yeah. In the house and starts screaming and wakes up the parents and they get out like just in the nick of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, we got to like get out of here and like start traveling and speaking and stuff and like, you know, not be in one place too long. And then as he's like out, he's violently assassinated.
Yeah.
And they replicate it very well as far as like being historically accurate. They didn't say the N-word, which was good. Because in the real depiction of what happened, like someone shouts some inappropriate things and then shoots him down in front of his wife and kids. And you see them there and it's like, oh my God, what, you know, what can you imagine?
Like, could you imagine like witnessing father die in front of your eyes? Like, and like just the trauma that like, and purely,
I mean, that's how you become, that would make me a villain. Like that, I'd be like, well, I'm going to watch the world burn now. Like, that's it.
Right? Like,
and it's like, and it's amazing that they didn't, you know, like,
well,
that, cause that's all I'd be like, oh, then nothing matters. The world's going to burn.
They're setting it up. They're setting it up, Drew. There is a daughter. Her name's Quabella. I think it is Quabella. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She witnesses the father getting murdered and she will come back. Okay. She's very pivotal to the story. But her being there and seeing it affects her life. And the way that, I'm calling her Mary J, but the way that Betty handles the situation in contrast to Coretta Scott King is very important to the story.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha.
So how Betty handles the death, she kind of like acts like things are going to go back to normal with our family. Like, I don't want to be in the public eye. I want to lie low. I want to like, I think she goes and gets her like
PhD. She gets her PhD and she becomes a teacher and like an activist. And she like one thing previously, like, you know, he was a man from the Nation of Islam, which he later denounced, which they always say that, you know, Betty believes that Farrakhan, you know, had some part in his assassination. And, you know, Malcolm really didn't want his wife outside of the home, you know, wanted his wife in the kitchen, you know, very, very stereotypical gender roles. And she flipped
right.
That once he dies, you know, she's scared, but she goes out to school, she becomes a teacher, she becomes an activist trying to get his face on a stamp, and really does not succumb to, you know, all of the ill wills that are thrown at her. And she really kind of defies essentially like what he wanted for his wife, but in a way that would really honor his memory. And she really goes about like, let's make sure that I don't want my husband to be remembered as this, like, this anarchist and this man who wanted to burn everything down. No, like, he was really fighting for his people.
Right. And she's doing all this with no, like, money coming in,
none.
Like, from her husband or anything. Like, she didn't inherit a bunch of money just because he's very well known, you know what I'm saying? Like, she also was pregnant with twins. She has six kids. Yeah. So, like, six kids. So, but she really does, like, kind of, like, hang back a little bit more until she gets a telegram from Martin Luther King and Coretta's, like, helping write it. And they're like, you know, we're really sorry because this is all crazy. And, like, kind of, like, saying, like, maybe they should have worked together, like, MLK and Malcolm X should have worked together and they could have unified their voices to get the message out to in a better way. You know what I'm saying? Like, MLK is like acknowledging that he kind of shouldn't have not like put him against each other, but they should have like banded together.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Is what the letter is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gives Coretta an idea to like bring in Betty as like a speaker, an activist, because she is an activist.
Yes.
And she way ahead of her time, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But then, of course, Martin Luther King dies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, and as I was saying with the contrast, instead of, you know, kind of laying low and like letting the public kind of just let the story go, let the press run its course, she's like, no, we're going to march.
Mm-hmm. Like, fuck
in
that.
Memphis,
where he was assassinated.
With her children.
Yeah, with 20,000 supporters. And her children are there. And she later says, since my children were there and saw that we were still continuing on with his vision and we're still going to continue to live our lives, those children were empowered.
Mm-hmm.
Where Betty's children lived in fear. You see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, because that, yeah.
You know, it's a different, and Betty definitely admires Coretta's strength in that situation because, you know, obviously, you know, her kids are traumatized and she's like, I'm going to protect them no matter what. Like, I'm going to make sure that no one ever hurts them again. And her idea of that is like not showing them like, I guess like the, what society is really capable of. So kind of putting a bandaid on it, but she sees kind of the error in that and like, no, I really should expose my children to, you know, the activism that can help us move our people forward.
Right.
Yeah.
And she does. I mean, she goes to the National Black Convention and they both speak and we hear their speeches in full, Drew. So, like, I really think it's just, like, the speech actually read by Angela Bassett and Mary J. Blige. And the speeches are great. Incredible. And the crowd and the energy, maybe because I haven't been in a crowd in a while, I was like, this is very, like, this is, like, making me feel emotional, making me feel, like, empowered. And, like, a really good watch right now for just anybody who's at home and needs to, like, feel empowered. Like, this is it. This is it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She goes on and says, like, you know, there are the triple evils of the world are racism, poverty, and war. And thinking about that is like, you know, we're still dealing with these same things today. And these women standing up to form a new world for their children is such an admirable and such a daunting task that they do with such class and such just like, they're so intelligent and they have this fire and this passion. And so it's like really beautiful to see women who, you know, are widows, you know, and making a way in the world using their husband's legacy to forge their own path.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing to me. I just like, because just like looking at it, like if I watched, you know, my spouse or my father get shot in front of me by the fucking worst, most ignorant garbage humans.
Cares.
I would be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take this whole fucking world down with me in a hail of fucking gunfire.
Right.
Fuck everyone and everything. But
you little vigilante. Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be vigilantism. It would just—I'd just be like
just
watching it burn.
Just straight up murder.
Just everyone. Okay,
arson
great.
Just straight up arson and
well,
John Wick.
And
John Wicking.
I was saying earlier today, like thinking about that, how these two women handled the assassinations of their husbands, the murders of their husbands, and then looking at like Jackie O and President Kennedy, like Jackie O didn't have to go speak to national people. She went to Camelot and kind of lived her privileged life in her rich ass life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not that she didn't suffer and she didn't like do eventually have causes that she advocated for, but she didn't have to beat the like get on the grind and do all the same things that these women had to do just to get the message out
to live.
And make money It's just the contrast there was like very apparent, and I don't know why I've never thought about it before, but this movie like brought it to the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
So, okay, we then Betty and Coretta are friends now. They like have dinner parties and they have people over. Their kids are friends. And through this like period of the movie, Coretta is really, I feel weird calling her Coretta, like she's my friend, but that's.
But she is. She's like all of our aunties.
Okay, you know? Okay. and she is advocating for Martin Luther King Day, which you think just kind of like happened, but no, she had to like go speak to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. She was like fighting for like 18 years or something crazy. Yeah. And you're like, what the hell? And then the FBI tried to blackmail her with some tapes, and I don't know what's on the tapes. And
well, what's on the tape is that we know that, you know, that Martin was a womanizer, and like, you know, he had extramarital affairs.
Oh wait, can I do a Britney Spears womanizer really quick?
Please.
Womanizer, woman, womanizer, womanizer, baby, womanizer, baby, baby, woman. Okay, continue.
But I think it's also that concept of like, you know, like, we look at our heroes and we put them on this pedestal, but like they're also human beings and they're flawed. So like, yes, like, is that an awful thing that he did? Of course it's awful. And they wanted to use that to embarrass Coretta to not wanting to fight in the Senate and get him his national holiday of like, we're going to embarrass you in these streets, you know, if you dare to try to create this legacy for this man. And it just shows you, you know, the FBI has always been a racist organization, historically, you know, Herbert Hoover.
Was it the FBI or the CIA that threatened her? I thought
FBI.
It was the CIA.
They tapped their phones.
In the movie, it says FBI.
Yeah, oh, okay. And it is that way. They tapped his phones for a very long time.
And she also says in the movie that she's like, I know my husband is not a perfect man, okay? Like, thanks, FBI, but I was married to him. I know what's going on.
I know you out in these streets acting a damn fool, okay?
And if that's all you motherfuckers got on me, you
can He's still a man. Trifling as hell.
Up your ass. You can shove those up your ass.
Basically. But eventually, she gets the federal holiday passed. So now we have Martin Luther King Day, and Betty is out here, you know, hanging out with Nelson Mandela, has a popular radio show, and still like effect, like we get a nice scene of her as a college professor with a student who's like going through a hard time. And she like gives her like, I don't know, $20 or something. And she's like, the student's going to be like, this is too much. And she's like, no. I've been there. And you're going to get out of this. And then all I ask is that you pass it on to someone else when they need help.
Pay it forward, baby.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. It really shows, because again, we don't know a lot about Betty. So to see this like selfless act and like done in such a like direct manner where it's like, don't cry. Don't like say thank you. Don't do anything. Just be like, just do it and like get better and like get educated and graduate college and
move forward.
I relate to that a lot because that's how I kind of live my life. So I was like, I appreciate this like directness. I love like a good direct person.
Yeah. Like, no, just do the thing. I'm fine. We're good.
Literally.
Don't cry.
Reach and become your potential. Like, that's all I'm asking you, you know, like use this to make tomorrow better. It's just like so beautiful.
I mean, these people are so strong that it's like, I can't even imagine. Because my way of dealing with it is not strong. Like, that, theirs is strong. Mine is fucking.
Yeah, you want to fall into a fetal position.
Right.
Yeah, mine's animalistic and fucking irrational. But, like,
fight or flight. You're definitely flying away.
I'm fighting. Well, no, I'm fighting, but not in the way that I should. Not at all in the way that I should.
So Betty goes on TV for like a interview or something, and she basically accuses
Farrakhan. She Farrakhan accuses him of, you know, assassinating her husband and having a play in it.
And her daughter hears this. This is Quabella, if I'm saying this right. She was like in college and she dropped out of college and moved to Paris. And now she's back in the States and she hears her mom talking and she allegedly conspires to have him killed.
Killed, yeah.
Yeah.
And to her boyfriend, like Michael Fitzpatrick was like undercover with the FBI. So he was recording all of their conversations. And so he's the reason why she eventually gets arrested for conspiracy to commit, you know, murder. This dude from like their childhood, like Betty comes to the house one day, their apartment door is open. And this like white dude comes out of a bedroom, like definitely like high and drunk and like disheveled and with the son, with, you know, Quibella. Is it Quibella?
I'm saying Quibella, but I think it might be a Q.
Q in there. I'm going to call her Q.
Oh, good idea. There.
And her son is. And so Betty's like, where's your mom? He's like, I don't know. Like, and then she finally comes in, you know, definitely just went to the liquor store. And mom is like, Q is talking to her boyfriend, like, go put a shirt on. And, you know, Betty's like, hey, why don't you come stay with me? Let your son come stay with me. Like, let's get you back on your feet. And she's like, no, mom, like, I can raise him on my own. I can do my own thing. Like, she's obviously in so much pain and just not willing to ask for help. And then she's got this other destructive figure on the low in her life, just like waiting to help destroy her, which is, you know, so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you get when you go the John Wick way. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, and she gets put away in jail. She gets like put in jail and then they put her in like a rehab or something. She gets sent away for quite a while. So Malcolm Jr. is going to stay with Betty and she's going to like raise him.
But one thing I do want to note. So in order to get Q out of jail, Farrakhan reaches out to her and is like, if you come on... we'll say, what is that called when you have like a fundraiser? We're going to have a televised fundraiser to raise funds for Q's defense. And if you, you know, join hands with me and say that like we're in this together and, you know, no longer speak ill and denounce me as a part of your husband's, you know, assassination, then, you know, we'll drop the charges, which eventually is what happens. So then Q's able to get out of, you know, prison and go to, you know, rehab and things like that. So then the son, Malcolm Jr., stays with Betty.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
So Malcolm Jr.
Angry. He's an angry kid, too, which I understand.
He's very angry. He's like coming from, you know, a family that has experienced trauma. Mm-hmm. So the trauma is passed down, which happens a lot. And he doesn't handle things very well. He sets the house on fire.
Literally.
And Betty is inside. She burns over 80% of her body and is in the hospital. And he's like outside realizing what he's done. And the police is like, hey, what's wrong with you, kid? And he's like, I didn't mean to. I didn't think she was going to
come to my door and try to get me out. That's the reason why it took her so long to get out, was because she was like trying to make sure that Malcolm Jr. was okay. And so obviously he feels like, oh no, my grandma.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but he set the place on fire. So in the hospital, Coretta comes and she visits Betty and Q is there and she's very upset. And Betty and Coretta like talk and Betty's like, I don't blame him. Like my grandson, like he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't mean to, but he like ends up in like juvenile detention and like all this type of stuff. And he actually died in Mexico like not that long ago. So like he really like saying like how the trauma like passed on, like his story is dark. It's not a good a good ending for him.
He didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because Betty dies, like
he dies in the hospital 23 days later.
She like dies from injuries from the fire, but they say like in the hospital, like all of these very important historical figures are coming to visit, and like, you know, she fought for as long as she could, but she didn't make it. And then they're kind of wrapping up the movie. Now they're like Coretta passed away from ovarian cancer like 9 years later.
But she gets, before she dies, so Betty for her whole life is also trying to get Malcolm on a stamp. And so Coretta finishes that journey for her and gets Malcolm on a stamp.
Nice.
You know, so before she passes away along with the national holiday.
Yes.
It'd be better if it was like money.
Yeah.
True.
I guess you can take a stamp.
Hey, you know, a stamp. Yeah. Well,
we needed the postal service, you know, go get them stamps, guys.
Yes, buy the stamps. But then the movie ends. We have Ruby Dee speaking about how the women faced tragedy and they fought for the future of their family and for the future of the country, which yes. is very true. And they don't get enough credit for the work that they did.
Yeah.
No.
It's cool that they like the beginning of the movie is the assassinations, and then it's like, oh, then them, like what they did after, because that's the story not told.
Exactly.
In exactly. school.
Yeah, I didn't know that her grandson was essentially like her murderer. I was like, what? I audibly screamed and
oh, absolutely.
Like, I can't believe it. Yeah. What? What? Like, oh.
Just when
but
you
it was
think,
accidental, right? Like it just.
I mean, it was intentional. I think he just like what he wanted his entire like life. Originally, a couple of years prior, when she had come into the apartment and saw, you know, Michael Fitzpatrick, and the, you know, Q wasn't there, and there's obviously drug use happening. She was like, "Hey, do you want to come live with me?" And he's like, "No, I want to stay with my mom." And so when you know he finally lives with her officially. You know, he says, I just want to see my mom. I don't want to live here anymore. So it's really out of like sheer pain and sheer just like, wanting to be with his mother that he burns his house down. And afterwards he goes, well, can I now go be with my mom? Like not really understanding the repercussions of his actions, thinking if I just burn her apartment down, then I can live with my mom. But, you know, obviously it's not.
Wham, bam.
Yeah.
There you
Wham,
go.
Wham, bam. Thank Done. You, ma'am.
Yeah, it's definitely like 12-year-old logic. Like,
yes.
I didn't realize that wounded fire gets on a person and makes them a dad.
So it's like so heartbreaking, and and she forgives. Like even on her deathbed, she chooses love, and I think that's just such a thing about like the Black experience. Like we're so forgiving. When I think about, I'm sure you guys have seen that viral video of the activists talking about, you know, right after the George Floyd's like the riots and she's talking about how, you know, we Tulsa and they burned down Tulsa. You know, we talk about all those times when we've had Black wealth, and you know, it's the last line of her, like her for talking to the camera is she's like, you know, it's you guys should be so lucky that Black people are not looking for revenge. We're just looking for
acceptance.
You know, like, you know, you are so lucky that our
minds so are
only coming
lucky.
From a place of love. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like, you guys are so fucking lucky. That, God. Because what, you know, like if everyone did what I want to do when I see my father shot in the head.
Right.
Oh, true.
Then it would just be a night. I mean, it would be a nightmare. I'm saying that that's how I would probably react emotionally.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the good way to do it.
No.
That's the wrong way.
We don't condone that on this podcast. We do not condone that.
I want to clarify that my way is the incorrect way. And it is not a John Wick movie. We live in real life.
So before we wrap up the movie, I just want to say a couple things. So, first of all, you know, we're talking about representation in TV movies, and this one is a great example of that. The whole cast is POC I think pretty much the entire cast is either Black or a Latinx or Asian.
It looks like good casting. Like from the IMDb, it looks like any like white actor is like reporter or actor.
Sure.
So
that's good, and like everyone had names, and this is a biopic, which we'll talk. I guess we could talk a little bit about that. How a lot of TV movies about Black actor or Black historical figures are biopics or musician biopics at Lifetime. They really dive into those, and they're not usually the best.
Aaliyah. Mm-hmm.
There's an Aaliyah one. There's a Whitney one.
A TLC one.
TLC. They're doing a Salt and Pepper one coming soon.
Simone Biles.
And Drew, the thing about all these music ones is that they don't have the licensing to any of the music. So you get a biopic without any of the music from the artist. That's cool. But this biopic was one of Lifetime's better ones, but still a trope in a Lifetime genre. So I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
And then also one little interesting fact, Angela Bassett actually played Betty Shabazz twice in legitimate movies, Malcolm X and Panther. She played the same woman. And then here, she's not playing her. She's playing Coretta Scott King, which I thought was interesting.
That's so awesome. It's just such a force to be.
Well, and she was she was Ramonda in Black Panther as well.
She always just plays amazing characters.
Always. Tina Turner, don't get me started.
Oh my God. That like her arms in that movie, her legs in that movie are just, it's phenomenal. Like
amazing. What a
And Olympus Has Fallen. Don't ever forget that.
Oh,
movie.
Right. Okay. So on the show, Drew, we either pour it up or put a cork in it. What are you going to do to this movie?
I'm pouring it up, dude.
Yes, that's right, baby.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it has Angela Bassett. So
yeah, it's automatic.
It's an automatic pour up.
Yeah.
Even without that, well, Mary J. Blige, that's also an automatic pour up.
Totally.
And Mary, I would say,
Well, Ruby Dee also, that is. Oof, yeah. Man. Yeah, I guess, I mean, but besides those things, I think that's cool. Like, just the idea, the concept of the movie actually, like, going like, yep, we all know this stuff. Now let's show you some things you don't know, probably.
Right.
We're never taught in school because it's not taught in school.
No, they tend to whitewash history in history class.
Yep.
So surprising, but not really. Who's writing the history books, everyone?
You're right.
So, Alex, what are you going to do to the movie?
I have to pour it up. I mean, literally, it's a story about two strong Black female leads who actually took place in history, telling a story that's often not told. From their perspective and their voices, with a narrator that was there when these things happened. And these are women at like the prime of their careers, the prime of their lives, just sharing their talent with us. It doesn't get any better. And it's actually like quality work. You know what I mean? Like, of course it falls into the tropes, but like, this is something that's just like, no, this could definitely be shown during history class, you know? And like, you know, along with Gattaca, you know, definitely can be shown together.
Oh, yeah.
You mean Gattaca?
We watch that like every year in like biology class.
Like with Uma Thurman and
Ethan Hawke? Yes, and like Jude Law. Yeah.
Why?
Why? That's so weird.
Why?
It's talking about like cell mutation and like stem cell research and like designer babies and things like that. So we watch that like every year in biology.
I like the movie.
It's a great movie. It really is. Like, it slaps every time. And
it
this
does slap.
Slaps.
Slap.
So there I go. Pour it up there all day.
I'm also pouring it up, of course. I really learned a lot, actually, surprisingly. And like I said earlier, this is kind of in that era of Lifetime where Lifetime didn't really know what they were doing with their brand. And that's how we got this epic, great, good quality movie, because they were really trying to do prestige-y. And then they realized, oh, we don't have the budget for this anymore. Like, we could make one movie a year at this price range.
Right.
So we need to like let that go. So this is one of the last like of these type of movies that Lifetime has done. Now they do the more rip from the headlines. So it was actually good to see like a not salacious real life story that's not like the college admission scandal or something stupid. Exactly. It's like actually something that we should probably learn about.
We should know. These are things
we should
Lifetime taught us something. Yeah. Like that's rare and it's beautiful. So 2013 toast.
2013.
The college admission scandal is like, okay, I mean that's interesting, but like we don't have to know it.
No.
We don't
We don't need to.
Yeah. It's another example of white people taking from people of color in their efforts to get an education and better their lives. So
corrupt white.
Absolutely.
Although I'm really glad that got fucking figured out. But for it's sure. Just, but yeah. I know.
Okay, so that wraps up our conversation about Betty and Coretta. But now it is time for a Candace.
Yay!
What you say, Candace Cameron Bure? On my wedding day, catch the bouquet. Candace hates the gays. Candace Cameron Bure. Drinking rosé, eating creme brulee, can't share with me, Candace Cameron Bure. Yeah. What you say, Candace Cameron Bure.
Okay, what you say, Candace Cameron Bure. I love that Alex is, I love that Alex is dancing even though the music does not play while we're recording, but it will play.
Hear it, I know it, and it slaps every single
Oh, just in your head.
Thank it's in you. My head. In your head. I love it.
Yeah.
So we have a very serious Candace. Speaking of fires, I'm going to play the clip and we'll talk about it. There's two things in the clip. There's the content rather than the after content. So you'll see what I'm talking about. Alex, you won't be able to see the video, so just use your ears and listen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
So many of you are asking if we are safe in Napa, and I will give you an update. My husband and Lev left at 4 a.m. this morning. The fires were as close as about 300 yards from our home. We're continuing to pray, though, but we're all safe and we're fine. But it is devastated. The Napa Valley, we have friends that have lost homes, friends that have lost wineries. All around us, no one's out of harm's way. So we just appreciate the prayers so much. It's been a very emotional 30 hours. Okay, second thing, because this was already planned before the events happened today, but I'm doing a giveaway on my main page with the home sort. Now, you might remember I had the two homes.
Okay, so there we go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Kids.
Almost.
Almost human. Almost. Actual full human being that I could actually have like empathy for.
You almost had it.
She just ruins it.
She ruined it. I was like, oh my God, Candace's house is on fire. I'm so upset. And you know, the California wildfires are wildly, rapidly going
on. They're wildly wild.
They're wildly wild.
They're raging wild. All night.
But then she undercuts it by being like, oh, also there's a giveaway happening, everyone.
But don't worry, I still have a giveaway.
Please send me money and I may.
You get a car and you get a car.
Crazy. Yeah. It'd be like at the end of Betty and Coretta if there was like a Betty and Coretta blanket are coming your way if you call now. You're like, wait, what?
Get your Betty and Coretta mug.
Exactly.
Coffee mug.
No. So crazy. So I was just the most Candace thing I've ever seen. And because I was like, oh my God. And she has clips of the actual her house, like in the fire and how close it is. And you're like, oh my God, is she there? And then she's like, no, I'm not there. And everything's going on.
I sent a droid to record all of this, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, Candace doing Candace, but be safe, Candace, and I hope your house is okay. And I'm really sorry that happened.
300 yards is kind—it's a far away. I mean, that's okay. Football field.
Oh, I don't know. That sounded very close.
Okay.
I don't know.
Your fire is far away.
It still sucks.
That sounded very close to me.
But you're like 300 yards is 3 football fields.
Isn't that how far you're supposed to park away from the curb? 300?
Yeah, 300 yards.
300 yards. Curb. Okay. No. Oh, okay.
Yep, that's the standard in Chicago.
Oh, well. I've been doing it wrong my whole life. Damn it.
Yeah. Damn it. I've been doing like 1 foot.
Oh, wow.
Instead. Oops.
Oh, boy. All right. So that's what's going on with Candace. But we have more Almost. Candace content. Coming up, not house fire content. I have other things to talk about. Wonderful. So I think it's time for pluggy time. Alex, we'll start with you. Do you have anything you'd like to plug right now?
I'm like working on a couple of projects. Something that is coming up. Yeah, I'm working on this Before Haiti project, which is a a play that a friend of mine from college was writing about the Haitian Revolution. And so we were actually supposed to like go up this past spring, but of course COVID happened. So we're kind of revamping it and putting out videos of scenes from the play. So it will be available on the Haitian American Museum's website. Probably in November. So,
oh wow,
you'll be able to kind of see some me on camera doing some fun stuff. So that's
doing some things.
Thing to plug, yeah.
Well, because people don't know, Alex, that you're an award-winning actress, but you actually are. So you know you should check out Alex's work on film.
I do have a short film out that's like making the festival circuits. Hopefully, it'll become like available. I can blasted to everyone, but it's called Mid-30s Martyr, and I won Best Actress last fall at the Austin Revolution Film Festival.
Nice.
We're still chugging away.
So cool. So
it's gonna be on Shudder because that's all I watch.
Oh right, yeah. It has murder in the title, so maybe.
I know, that's what I was saying. It's gotta be on Shudder. I just want all shows, all movies to be on Shudder.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Drew, get them to sponsor us. You've talked about so much by at this point that they have to become a sponsor.
Yes.
Drew, do you have anything you had to plug at the pluggy time?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Drew But With Pants, and you can also follow my band The Limbos on Spotify. We're The Limbos.
Yeah. If
that's what you type in. We're coming out with an album this month at some point. Not sure when, but it will be this month.
October.
So, brand new album.
Can't wait.
It's a quarantine album.
Oh, I love quarantine it. Album. I love it.
Cannot wait. Wonderful. Well, thank you both for being here. And thank you, listeners, for checking back in with Lifetime Accord. We watch these movies, you don't have to, but if you do, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow me at Patrick Miguel or the show at Lifetime Accord. Check out our YouTube channel, also called Lifetime Accord, and our website, lifetimeaccord.com. Okay, I think that's it for this week. We'll see you next week for another Representation Matters, Black Lives Matter, all these things matter.
Yes.
Yes, Black Lives do matter.
Black Lives matter, guys. Like,
Let's just make that a blanket statement.
That's just a thing that goes without saying at this point.
I don't see why anyone would get mad about that.
Oh
but,
boy.
You know, people do.
But there are crazies out there. So.
Well, there you go. So, all right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.